Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure as always. By the way, folks, Monday I will be announcing my 2008 predictions. So be ready for that. As you know, earlier in the week on New Year's Day, I did my recap of my 07 predictions, and I was 14 for 16, in case you didn't remember that. And so I'm going to be giving you my 08 predictions, and some of them will be a little mundane. You might think, well, so what? I don't care about that. But some of them are a little bit different, and I think you might find them interesting. So I'm going to do that on Monday, and I'm looking forward to telling you what I think is going to happen in 08. But see, folks, I'm just an amateur. I'm an amateur. Somebody who's a real professional, somebody who's a real pro at this is our good friend Joel Barker, who's with us right now. Joel is the author of many books, including Five Regions of the Future, the new book. But, of course, my favorite is always going to be his book on paradigms, because that's the one that I fell in love with and really came to be an admirer of Joel Barker's work. He is a futurist, as I say. I just slept in the Holiday Inn Express last night. He is the real deal. Joe Barker, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. And I want to put a cautionary note on that right now. I don't do much predictions. What I'm more interested in is the range of options, because a lot of what the future brings is what we put our effort into, and that changes all sorts of things about predictions. So I what we do in our conversations here is we talk about what's out there that's happening, and maybe one of your listeners will say, that's what I want to make happen.
Yeah.
So I'm more, let's scan the horizon and see what the options are, than I am to say this will happen or that will happen.
That's why he's a professional, folks. He's much smarter than me. Joel, one of the things you have found as you scan the horizon,
yeah,
is what you call, I'm going to call it an inkjet printer house. Tell us about that.
Yeah. This has been something I've been kind of tracking for the last about a year and a half now.
Joel. Think about that, folks. An inkjet printer house.
Yep. Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep. So there's a guy in California, basically University of California, and his name is, I cannot pronounce it, so I'll spell it, B-H-A-R-O-K. So I think it's Barok.
Yeah.
And then it's K-H-O-S-H-N-E-V-E-S, which looks like Kosnevis.
Mm-hmm.
Kosnevis. Anyway, he decided that it was time to take a look at doing houses in a different way. And so one of the things I look at is what I call innovation at the verge. And that is where you're taking something and something different and put it together. And when you put the two very different things together, you get this third thing that's very powerful. So he took the concept of inkjet, you know, what we print, a lot of us have them in our computers to print things out. And he took the concept of 3D development. So the idea would be, I'm going to take whatever's spraying out of my inkjet and keep going back over it, back and forth, and actually make it, layer it up so it gets tall, so it comes off the surface. It'd be like running your inkjet printer with printing the same letters again and again until the letters became three-dimensional.
Right.
And he put the equivalent of concrete in a very large, in a sense, inkjet printer, and he is squirting out walls and predicts that he will be able to print a house in 24 to 36 hours. Walls, ceilings, the whole business.
Wow.
Now, that is a real paradigm shift.
And if he can do it with concrete, he could do it with other material, like plaster or composite material of some kind or something like that.
Oh, exactly. In fact, the concrete's the trickiest stuff.
Yeah.
If you did it with foam, for instance, that would be a no-brainer. He's trying to work it so that you have materials around the world that would work and be consistent. He thinks he can even do it with Adobe.
So, really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. You're talking about the mud, not the program, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, Adobe, that's good, though, Joe. him because the Adobe does a font maker. It would maybe,
yeah.
Maybe Adobe will have the software that prints the houses.
I've been using Adobe for 20 years, no question about it, but not the muddy kind. As somebody who's built a few buildings in his life, this is a fascinating. I mean, I've got 1,000 questions about how that would work.
Sure, sure. Well, think about it. You pull up with a truck, you lay out these rails.
Yeah.
It's basically a device with the sprayer, the inkjet hangs down from a device that can go back and forth, and then that device works on the rails, and it just starts at one end of the house, and it's like laying down a blueprint.
Yeah. Very interesting. The magic of this, folks, is the 24 to 36 hour thing. That's the key. The material can come and go, but the magic is the time, because that's where a lot of your expenses is in the labor. Stand by, quick break, right back after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Joel Barker is our guest.
Abraham Lincoln, and I'd like to help you celebrate your 10th anniversary. Jim, I always feel better about myself after I'm on the show. I don't have any bouts of depression. You ask good questions. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary, but don't let it go to your head.
Welcome back. We got somebody from the past on our show and somebody from the future on our show. How about that all at once? Who else gives you that kind of programming, folks, other than Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate? Welcome back at 17 till. That was President Abraham Lincoln. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And with a little help from Gene Greisman. And, of course, the man from the future is our good friend Joel Barker, a world-renowned futurist. And we're talking about some of the things that Joel sees on the horizon out there. And we were just mentioning the inkjet printer house. You know, Joel, one thing, the truth is that labor is a huge part of building a building. But it's not the biggest part. The biggest part is the materials. But there is one other component that is huge when you're building a house, and that this inkjet printer building could help on, and that is the cost of time. So every building has to have a bridge loan, typically, or bridge funding of some kind to get this house out of the ground, this building out of the ground, until you can get a permanent mortgage on it.
Yep.
And if you can do something in a week that would ordinarily take 5 or 6 months, that's the time value of money.
Huge. And it, you know, you think about your small business people right now, and many of them have relationships to the building industry, and that's why this is important, because you need to look out ahead and say, what could be coming down the line that could change my job, change my business, and how do I turn this into an advantage? This actually could set up very well for a medium or what I'd call a large small business, because once you get the equipment, you use it again and again and again and again and again, and it's very fast, so there's your time difference. So all of a sudden you can produce things, and the cost of housing could, in fact, go backwards, could, in fact, reduce. One of the articles that I read on it said it could cut the cost of a house by as much as 2/3.
Wow. That's incredible. Let's move on and talk. And by the way, folks, the websites for this. I think what we'll probably do is publish this in our newsletter this week. I'll see if I can get that done. You've given us some websites where people can go look at this. So we'll try to publish that. If not this week, next week in our newsletter. But also, can they find this at your website, Joel?
No, I'm not doing that. That's right. My rule is I give it to you because that you're the easiest one to find from that.
There you go.
The one I would recommend, if they want to see it in process, if they go to the CBS News reference website, there is a click to YouTube from that, and you can actually see the process. You can actually see a video of the process.
All right, sounds good. All right, let's talk about health care.
You've got some thoughts
about universal health care. So give us your thoughts on this.
Well, first of all, let's acknowledge what was going on last night in Iowa, which is both the Republicans and the Democrats are now talking about health care in a serious way.
Yep.
And part of the reason is because when you start taking a look at the cost of health care in America today and the number of people uninsured, it's long-term, and this is, you know, futurists always think long-term. It's dumb for the United States not to keep its people healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of unhealthiness is way more than the cost of keeping them healthy. So what I gave you, and again, we've got a reference, Jim, that you'll have on your site. Tordal is a friend of mine who's been studying healthcare for 20 years, and he put out basically a challenging essay on the future of healthcare. And here's what he said. He said that what there is one major regulation that has to be written, whether it's private or public, and when you write that one regulation, it changes everything about health insurance. There's two kinds of ratings that you can have for health care. One is called community-based. The insurance covers the community, and the community runs from the very sick to the very healthy.
Right.
Or you can do risk rating, in which you say, I'm going to insure the people who have the least risk. And he said, if you take a look at the way risk rating works, as soon as one insurance company does risk rating, everybody has to do it, because if the one company picks off all the low-risk people for insurance, they get high profits. Everybody else has to deal with the other problem.
Right.
So his basic thesis is what the United States, what Congress has to do is write a law that says all health insurance must be community-rated.
Hmm.
And what that does is if you're an insurance company, that means you've got very sick and very healthy and everybody in between, and that's your population. And so you are now incentivized at a very high level to keep people as healthy as possible, not wait until they get sick to do something. End result, in the long term, is you have a much healthier population and your cost of health care goes down. He doesn't care whether it's private or public. Doesn't make any difference. The key is the community rating.
So the community rating, when you say community, are you talking about my company would be a community?
Not necessarily. What you're looking for is
define community.
A bell-shaped curve of population: the young, the middle-aged, the old. Some people, in fact, one of the requirements he has is nobody can be turned away from the insurance. So everybody gets to be insured. And with community rating, because you have a bell-shaped curve, you have your costs spread from people who never show up, who are paying for health insurance, all the way to those people who are, you know, in their 60s or 70s or 80s who have a problem.
But so, I still need you to define community. What's the community?
Okay, well, remember Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Yeah.
They had a community rating. For instance, the state of Minnesota
is a community?
Is a community.
Okay.
And it's big enough so that you have that true bell-shaped curve.
Right.
Then what Tor suggests is, you define that population. Then let's say something shows up in that population that screws up the balance.
Yeah.
Then you subsidize so that company or who's ever doing it still can be profitable.
Hold on to that thought, Joe. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back with Joel Barker right after these messages. We're going to sort this out and talk about some hydrogen, too. This is one of my most interesting things about the future of energy, hydrogen. Very exciting. Stay with us. 10-10. Only back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joel Barker is our guest. And folks, I want to remind you about his new book. It's called Five Regions of the Future. And Joel, I know we can still get that one. Can we still get the Paradigm book?
Oh, yeah. Paradigm book has been in print since the day it came out in 1989. It's always been in print.
Small business owners, I don't know how you can. Let me put it this way. If you're a small business owner, you must read the Paradigm book. Joe, I like your Five Reasons of the Future book, but I think it's number two. I mean, I think you got to read the Paradigm book first. For some, I don't know, maybe you may not disagree with me, but I'm telling you, folks, that book will change your life, and then read Five Reasons of the Future. But anyway, find those books. Whatever Joel Barker has to say, whatever he does, is outstanding. He will shock you and awaken some of the things that are inside of you that could help you to not get in your own way. That's one of the things, Joel, that when you explained to me about paradigms years ago, before we knew each other, that really changed the way I looked at the world. And I know I've done this before, but I thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that too, Jim.
Okay, folks, this concept we're talking about, the universal healthcare concept, I actually think you call it a key regulation needed for universal health care.
Yeah.
I think we got to get the universal out of it, because, see, that's a sticking point for guys like me. We need to quit saying universal. If you're going to make this argument, this case for your point here, that the Tord Dahl has written. By the way, folks, Here's the website, tordahl.com. You got to take the word universal out, because that puts people off like me.
Yep.
See, because I'm against universal health care.
Are you against Medicare?
You know what? That's an argument I'm not ready to make.
because for a certain population, that's universal health care, John.
I agree. We'd have to talk about Social Security and everything else if we're going to talk about that. Yeah, so I actually have a problem with that, by the way. But anyway, this is something we need to talk about some more, but I don't want to finish our conversation today, Joel, without talking about your idea about hydrogen, some of the new stuff coming up on hydrogen.
Yep.
I don't think biofuels is the way of the future for alternative fuels. I'm not hopeful about that. Are you?
Yep. You and Bruce Logan, by the way, that's the guy at Penn State who did this research we'll talk about in a minute, agree. Ethanol is at best a stopgap measure, and hydrogen is a much, much better solution to the problem, because when you burn ethanol, you still get CO2.
It's a zero-sum game. H2O. I mean, it's an inefficient way to convert, to create an alternative fuel. In my opinion, it's the only way you would do it is if you have no other alternatives.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's what Bruce Logan is at Penn State. Again, we've got a reference if people want to dig around, but he did a really weird, wonderful thing. This is paradigm stuff, right? He was working on biological hydrogen, basically taking bacteria that produced hydrogen, and he discovered if he would just give them a little shock of electricity, and I mean we're talking like 0.3 volts, that they would produce dramatically more hydrogen than without that little burst.
Are we talking garbage?
Yeah, they'll eat cellulose, they'll eat garbage, they'll take it's the same thing if you think about cellulosic ethanol. We're going to take the same base, except we're going to turn it into hydrogen. And here's the deal. The process produces 288% more energy in hydrogen than if you did the electrolysis process or if you just did the biological process. When you put the two things together, you get an enormous amount of hydrogen. And now,
how close is this to being an efficient way to create hydrogen?
Well, the research has been done. They filed for the patents. It looks like it's scalable. Again, you and I were talking about this offline, which is scalability is the big deal. You can make a lot of stuff happen in a petri dish that you can't make happen in a tank, right?
Right.
But this is something I would be tracking. See, this goes on my tracking list. Watch for Logan. Watch for what's going on here. Watch for what's happening. Because if it gets to scalability, all of a sudden we do have a way to produce hydrogen that is very efficient. And, man, hydrogen is great stuff.
My audience knows that I've been tracking hydrogen for years. We've talked to people who are making hydrogen membranes and trying to make hydrogen fuel cells. It's a dicey thing, but I'll tell you what, I think hydrogen should be the Manhattan Project that this country is working towards. What do you
absolutely
think?
Absolutely. And that's exactly the way it should be framed. If we want to get disconnected from $100 a barrel oil, it is worth a Manhattan Project.
And we could lead the world in that, couldn't we?
What always cracks me up is people say, but that's government money, it'll be wasted. No, it won't. It'll give us huge leverage.
That's exactly right. Around the world. And then let's sell it to everybody else. Let's get some of those petrodollars coming back this way. What do you think?
You got it.
Hey, Joel, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Good talking to you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.